As I was reflecting on today's readings, I got a little jealous, or maybe even envious. Wouldn't it be so nice if Jesus was just here, and you could see his face, hear his voice, know that he called you, and know where he's going? Wouldn't that be really convenient? Like, there you are. You said, come, follow me, and I'm just going to follow you. I know where you're going. Or would it be great if there was a prophet that arose, and he spoke in such a way that everyone was like, yes, this is what we ought to do. Let's all do it. It'd be wonderful, considering how divided we are, to have such unity. Wouldn't that be super nice? Well, God in his infinite wisdom knows something about us. That if Jesus were to appear and show himself to us and say, come, follow me, a group of us would be like, yes, let's go. We got this. It's Jesus. And a group would be like, no, that's the devil. Don't follow him. And then a group wouldn't care. They'd be like, no, not worth it. Same thing if a prophet were to arise. If a great prophet were to come, the group would be like, no, false prophet, don't do it. The group would be like, yeah, this is the way to go. This is what we need. Let's do it. Another group would just simply not care. And in a very similar way, this is very close to our first reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites, who were the evil ones who did everything wrong, and yet these people who did everything wrong changed their mind. And as Jonah's upset about this, and he's grumbling under the kikimwa tree, God says to him, why shouldn't I have compassion on them? 120,000 people in this city who can't tell their right hand from their left. Basically, he's saying, they're so stupid, if you were to show up, they wouldn't know what to do. In order for them to actually repent, they had to be so stupid that they would actually listen to Jonah. We, on the other hand, think we're so smart that if someone were to come, we shouldn't listen to them, or we're better than them. And that's a great challenge for us. Because if we really want to follow God, if we really want to recognize him, it can take some work on our part. And in that very same vein, what I want to do is to reflect on our pandemic. Reflect on it on a spiritual level. Find God in the midst of it and recognize what he's doing, so that we can have a new avenue, a new outlook on what's going on, a new way to engage with it that's on a spiritual level, not just a practical level. Where I want to start out with that is our quest for truth. I want you to think about that for a moment. Do we actually quest for truth? Do we look for it? Are we interested in it? Because frankly, if we looked across our society, we don't believe in truth. We have all these ideas, ideologies, things swarming around us, different people's opinions, to the point where we get so overwhelmed by so much stuff, we don't think we can find what's actually true and good. And that's really unfortunate, because truth is there. But the problem is that truth will cause us to do two things. It causes us to have to realize, I could be wrong. I might not know everything there is. I might have to keep searching for a while, which means I have to have the humility to say, I got to keep looking. If you don't believe me, here's a great example of what I mean. Next time your whole family gets together, big, long, extended family, you get together for a meal, say this, I believe this party is correct. I can guarantee you by the end of that meeting, that meal, you will not be liking each other. And I can put whatever you want in there. It doesn't have to be a political party. Anything fits into that gap. That's what's so sad. We are so divisive that we believe that I have to be right and you have to be wrong or we have a problem. And that means I don't want the truth. I want what I think is true. Which is why I stand on those two points, that if we're actually looking for the truth, we first of all have to accept the idea that I can be wrong. And as soon as I accept the idea that I can be wrong, I can learn from other people, I continually look for the truth, then that gives us the humility we need to actually find it. Because ultimately what it comes down to is there is one eternal truth, and that is Jesus. It's not a thing, it's a person who spoke the truth to us. Someone we can search for, someone we can hear the words, some way in which we can look at something that's so beyond us that all the other stuff doesn't matter anymore. It pales in comparison. We stand on truth as Jesus himself. And by searching after him, looking for him, listening to his voice, there's something greater, something more wonderful, something so beautiful that actually brings us to humility, not arrogance. It gives us a sense of the grandeur of the world without having to do much more. We must be people who search for the truth. We must be people willing to go after it and to find it. Otherwise, the world will consume us. We must be who we are. We must search after Jesus. Somewhat tied to that and closely linked to it is that one of the unfortunate things of the pandemic is we've lost the sense of human dignity. Pope Francis, in the middle of the pandemic, said something that should challenge us. He said, "The pandemic has shown us the depths of our hearts." And he has a point to that. The pandemic has shown us many things. It's shown us our fears, how much we are afraid of so many things, and now afraid of each other. It's not a big deal that we have to stay 6 feet apart. What's the big deal is that we're afraid of anyone coming within 6 feet of us. Instead of recognizing the dignity of the person, finding ways to cultivate that where we all feel safe and comfortable and respond to the times that we're in. We don't have to be afraid, we choose to be. We also are afraid of so many different things in our life, that our lives have like crashed before us. That's not true. We still have the dignity we once had, but the problem is we don't really respond to the dignity that's out there. We don't really respect people on that level. Here's some examples to show you what I mean. How often do we pass people on the street and don't even look at them? That's a response to their fact that we don't think they're important to us. Or we go to the grocery store or another store, and as a person's checking out all our things, do we respond to them as a human being or as a means to us getting the things we want? This is all rooted in that human dignity. And I argue that we have so lost the sense of our human dignity that God has given us a punishment. He's made us wear masks, that we have to mask over the rest of our dignity so that we respond to the fact that we now have to look at people differently. We now have our challenge to really force ourselves to recognize that everyone has intrinsic dignity. To give another sense of what I mean by this, think about the pandemic. God could have given us anything as a disease. In 1 Samuel, he gave them hemorrhoids. Could you imagine if we're all afflicted by hemorrhoids and that's our major pandemic? The world would have been so different. But no, and he could have given us something like a skin disease, like leprosy, where we cover over our bodies, and therefore by covering over our bodies, we respond to the fact that we are not looking at human dignity in the same way, but it wouldn't have been the same. It could have been some fluid-borne pathogen, where we just kind of keep our distance and do things right, and it's largely the same. Nothing would have changed. That's not the situation. We have an invisible disease, something we can't notice in others, and takes a long time to really react to our systems, to the point where we can infect people without knowing it. This is the fear that is wrapped around all that's going on, and something that is contagion is caused by our mouths, which I come back to because we're wearing masks, and the masks cover our dignity because that's the one way God is showing us it's time to look at things differently. It's time to see the world differently. It's time to respond to the fact that we have so circumvented his laws. This is kind of our punishment. In a very similar vein, and the last point I want to make, is the dignity of life, the sanctity of life. In the midst of this pandemic, it has shown us how little we care about life. More importantly, it has shown that we want to be the authors of life and death. We want to choose who lives and dies. That's not our choice. If life has intrinsic dignity, if life is holy, then we don't get to choose that. We just notice its importance in each and every person. Let me show you what I mean by this pandemic. We have people who say, when you get old, it's better for you just to kill yourself if you don't want to live any longer. Euthanasia. But yet the same people are saying, let's keep people alive as long as physically possible because they have COVID. In the same vein, we have people who want to kill children in the womb. In the same vein, those same people are saying, let's use whatever means possible to keep as many people alive as possible. There's a contrast here. And the contrast is formed because we don't know what life is. We don't know what true living really means. And this pandemic has shown us something so vitally important to the dignity and sanctity of life. It's not what we thought. We have so tied our lives to our job, our work, the way we live, the things we do, that our dignity came from the stuff of the world, not from something interior, something rooted in the core of who we are. And now we're being challenged to see the world in a different way. We're being challenged to see that life is great and wonderful regardless of the situations around us. We're being challenged to live it more and more fully and more faithfully than we ever have because the situation has changed so drastically. This is our great challenge, to live life well now, to live life with dignity now, to be challenged to see the world better because we're so much more simpler now. In the same vein, God has always said that life has dignity, and yet we haven't spoken about it. How convenient is it that we are wearing things that muffle our speech and make it hard to hear, because for so long we have muffled our speech and made it hard to hear the words that everyone needed to hear. You have dignity. You have purpose. You have a reason to live. So that when we say to someone, "I don't want you alive," we have said to them, "You have no dignity." When we have said to ourselves, "I have no reason to stay living," we have said to ourselves, "I have no dignity." When we ever say to someone, "It's all right for that person to die," we say, "Life has no dignity." But now we should speak again and speak words anew, that life has dignity, life has purpose, life has meaning. And it's not just enough to say it, it's time for us to show it in the way we live, in the way we see other people, in the way we understand the world around us. Let us celebrate life. Let us live it boldly and well. Let us, in the midst of whatever issue we may have, show how wonderful life truly is. As St. Paul exhorts us today, we don't have much time. He makes it seem like the imminent end is coming, even though that was 2,000 years ago and clearly it hasn't happened yet, but his words still ring true. It's not tomorrow that we're looking at. It's not a month from now. We're not looking at years from now in which this stuff will happen. Today is the day. Now is the time. Now is the time to do these things right, to take up a new challenge in this pandemic, and to see these things as a time of penance, just like the people of Nineveh did. They cover their bodies in sackcloth as a sign of penance. We cover our faces as a sign of penance, that we may see anew what God is doing. Do something to change the world around us, something that's largely incidental. You know, it's going to be transitory. It's going away eventually. Not a big deal. But now, if we take it up as a new challenge, it takes on spiritual meaning. It means that this is now driving us into the realm of God, where we see God in a different way. We see him as working with us, helping us, helping us see the world differently, because he has changed the world differently. I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to really take up this challenge, to see the things that we're dealing with in a new light. Put them in God's realm. Put them as a sign of penance, that we may change the world through our actions and really bring the world to a new and better place. So ultimately, that's where we need to be. People of light, people who celebrate, people who show God to the world.